Oh, it's so good to have you here. Welcome back to Damon Bruce Plus. It is Monday, September 8th. We are, as always, brought to you by Ike Sandwiches, our good friends at the Dubliner West Portal, who, by the way, are throwing their doors open for Plus Mania 7. That is October 4th at 4:20. We plan on having a really good time the Saturday after the 49ers and Rams play their Thursday night game. And I hope you plan on being there. If you're in the Bay Area, if you're in San Francisco, gosh, if you're in California, we'd love for you to make it up and come hang out with us. That is coming up at the Dubliner. Again, my man Ike has got something absolutely delicious waiting for you at one of his restaurants. Now, get a sandwich, try something delicious like the Damon Bruce. If you want more of a football-themed sandwich, though, he's got you taken care of. I mean, you can get a Marshawn Lynch. You can go ahead and get a Jeff Garcia. I mean, he's got all sorts of great football themed sandwiches, which just go perfect with your football Saturday or a football Sunday. I mean, it's even good for a dinner on a Monday night football game, for goodness sakes. And speaking of eating and eating well, our friends at Sleeper are going to go ahead and try to make sure that you and your friends are eating well. It is the fastest growing fantasy and gambling site in America right now. If you think you know football, you can turn that knowledge into some real money with the Sleeper app. It is the ultimate fantasy sports app that turns game days into paydays. And even though my payday did not come yesterday on Sleeper, here was my parlay. I lost. I'll show you. I'm going to show you when I win. I'll show you when I lose. I had Pearsall over 3.5 receptions. That was going to be a winner for me. And then Christian McCaffrey, anytime touchdown. That was not a winner for me. Sam Darnold over 8.5 rushing yards. He hit that on his first scramble of the day. So I did not have a great Sleeper day, but hopefully you did. And you will all have fun on Sleeper if you go ahead and sign up on the link that is in the description of this video here today. Use promo code Damon and get $100 deposit match up to $100 on your very first deposit. So it's great to have Sleeper in the mix. It's great to have our good friends at the Dubliner in the mix. My good friend Ike's is always in the mix when it comes to making a great sandwich for you. And I hope you live in an Ike's area soon, if not already. It is wonderful to have you here. Hit like and subscribe if you would. Please look at all the regulars who are back in here. It's great to see you all, starting with, of course, the Postman.
Oy, oy, oy!
And it's really good to have you. Thank you so much for being here. All the regulars coming back into the room. Otis, Joe, great to see you all. It really, really is. And what can I tell you? It's a whole lot better to win ugly than it is to lose in a beautiful fashion. And that's what the 49ers are looking at today. They're looking at a win that defensively got the job done, certainly. There were times in that game I didn't feel like it was going as well until you open up that box score and you see, like, hey, man, Seattle's running game did not pop for any or many big plays in the game. Even though it was consistently moving the ball for them, it wasn't wrecking the 49ers. That defense did a nice job putting pressure on Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy was able to survive that pressure, the highest pressure rate he's faced in his career, by the way, with a bunch of dudes who, you know, from a football standpoint, are basically Costco employees running routes for you. You got Marquez Valdez-Scantling out there trying to make plays. He was not targeted once, but, you know, out there. Juwan Jennings, hardly out there. Didn't take very long to get Kittle out of that game with a hamstring pull, and all eyes will be on that diagnosis this week. But it was a day where the protection wasn't great, the targets weren't great, and man, Brock threw a couple of interceptions that, you know, he's going to want back. The second one especially. You can't throw into triple coverage with a flutter ball. You really can't. You know, making $53 million a year means you don't make that choice anymore. Good quarterbacks are going to throw bad interceptions. It's going to happen, but it can't be an interception because I'm trying to attack triple coverage. It's got to be a, hey man, I thought I had a 50-50 ball and, you know, 50 went the wrong way. It can't be into triple coverage like that. Even the game winner to Tongas was a little bit of a hold your breath moment. I mean, just look at this. Just look at that. Tongas was behind the corner and had to come out from around the corner to basically prevent the interception with a touchdown reception. But Jake Tongas, man, have yourself an afternoon. This is a guy that I've watched, you know, make this team's practice squad. This is a guy that I've seen with my own two eyes, have good training camps, have good practices, and still not be involved in any game plan at all. Last night, Tongas has, you know, more of an impact in one game than he's had in all the games he's ever played. 31 offensive snaps, 15 routes, 3 targets, 3 catches, 15 yards, and that game-winning touchdown for Tongas last night. It was great that he came down with that. It certainly makes everybody's day in Santa Clara a little bit easier. Before we continue to look at what happened in Seattle, there's a few things that are actually happening today in Santa Clara, and no, cutting Jake Moody is not one of them. It's not yet anyways, and probably won't be. But what we do have down in Santa Clara is Colton McKivitz this morning sharing the fact that he's got a 3-year, $45 million extension. By the way, that's a lot easier to share when he goes out and he plays well. Colton did not have a bad game yesterday. He didn't have a great game yesterday. I don't think anybody across the 49ers offensive line had a great game yesterday. But McKivitz, you know, look, it's good business. It's good business. It's also very much a sign of saying, we don't think we're going to have many more games left with Trent Williams, so we need to have this one tackle position locked down before we go onto the market or into the draft looking for a tackle solution. It would have been great had they gone in the free agency or the draft looking for a center solution, because Jake Brendel, I thought, left an awful lot to be desired in the middle of that offensive line. But not nearly as much to be desired as the supposedly improved special teams, which really did not improve at all. But congratulations to Colton McKivitz. You know, when Juwan Jennings got broken off, what he got broken off, you know, something that Larry and I had been talking about, and we had a fantastic wake up this morning already, was that, you know, McKivitz is going to want a little something there. Well, you know, this is basically an extension that says, hey, big fella, we see what you need to, and we got you. So no problem at all with that extension. The 49ers today brought Kendrick Bourne back. Now, again, is this something to get really excited about? I don't think so, but Ian Rappaport today broke the story that Kendrick Bourne is back with the 49ers. It's a 1-year max value of $5 million for Kendrick Bourne. You know, what can I tell you? It's a guy who's familiar with the team. That's about all I'm going to sell you on Kendrick Bourne. He's been here. He knows the system. He knows his way around Levi's Stadium. I would have much rather pursued somebody new than somebody old, but okay. And what I think this says more than even, hey, Kendrick Bourne is now in the room, is that they're not expecting Juwan Jennings to be back in the room with a level of I'm here to help that they hoped he might have. Because Juwan Jennings yesterday didn't do very much, and I think him being injured was a part of that. I think his terrible offseason with all that he dragged the Niners through, or vice versa, was a part of that. But Kendrick Bourne is back, so you usually don't get an awful lot of breaking news in between a game and our Monday show, but two things happened. Bourne is back. McKivitz got extended. They get out of Seattle with a win. That's all they needed to do. But it wasn't a win without critique. It wasn't a win that was just, oh, like, put your feet up, easy breezy. And I will say this, there's no doubt. I think Seattle might be one of the better teams that the 49ers are going to play this year. And one of the more difficult games on that schedule will always be the game up in Seattle. And with too many mistakes, with not enough execution, with too many turnovers, with not nearly enough protection, without, you know, health to one of your single best players, George Kittle, they still won the game. Oh, it was a game that was devoid of special teams improvement as well. One of the things that we were promised, we're going to get better on special teams. Nope, not up in Seattle. Not even close. Not at all. Actually bad. Like, you know, Brant Boyers, like, what would you say it is you do here? What would you say it is you do here? So with all that going wrong, it's officially a good win. There's no doubt about that. That's a good win. They have a much easier opponent coming up in New Orleans. The Saints, I watched a little bit of that game yesterday. The Saints are terrible. So the Niners are in position to start this year 2-0. I really hope that they do, because it's going to go a long way to putting money in the bank. And you want money in the bank for that rainy day. And we all know the rainy day is coming. It already rained a little up in Seattle with, you know, let's see what's happening with, you know, George Kittle. Let's see what's happening with Juwan Jennings. Let's start with the positives. The biggest positive is Robert Saleh's back in the room. And Robert Saleh, you know, he can play with what he's got. And then I think he can sort of work with what he's got on the fly to patch, you know, some holes that pop up in a game plan or in a defense. And Saleh cobbled together a really good defensive performance out of the 49ers, even though, you know, their defensive improvement is going to be relying on what this rookie class does and how they play. And yesterday, the rookie class, besides Marquise Siegel and Upton Stout, who had an up and down game, he got a baptism of fire by Jackson Smith and Jigba. We did not use the name CJ West, Michael Williams, nor did we say Alfred Collins' name more than once. Bryce Huff's name was not used in this game. Kalea Davis didn't do much. Sam Aquinu forced a fumble. And then Nick Bosa, after an afternoon of playing well, has his biggest moment in a 49ers uniform in 2 years when he creates the holy trinity of defensive end play with a sack, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery to ice the game. Bosa salted this game away right when it looked like the Seahawks were going to take the lead late. Man, does he make a huge play. So that was fantastic. A thing to take away too, even with a couple of terrible interceptions, Brock Purdy's never lost up in Seattle, kids. He is undefeated as a starting quarterback up in Seattle. That is a good neighborhood for any 49er quarterback to be living in. I thought D. Winters played particularly well yesterday. He was all over my television screen. D. Winters was in on so much action. It just shows you that he's taken that step forward. He's ready to be a big contributor. Really happy with what I saw out of D. Winters yesterday. Again, Nick Bosa, when it mattered most, answered the bell. Even though Christian McCaffrey didn't get into the end zone, he was phenomenal. And without Christian McCaffrey, the 49ers lose badly yesterday, because that guy is the heroin that Kyle is addicted to. Kyle Shanahan, he thought he'd pick up a little methadone named Brian Robinson Jr. He prefers his China Cat sunflower, Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey goes from, hey, man, he can't even go in walkthroughs with this injury, to now 30 touches. 30 touches in week one. That feels like like 10 too many. Where did Isaac Garendo go? Was Isaac Garendo traded for compensation or picks? Where was Isaac Garendo? How come he wasn't used at all in that game? Brian Robinson, not nearly used enough. Christian McCaffrey, probably overused. But man, if that guy's not being hit behind the line of scrimmage because he's getting terrible offensive line play in front of him, he's special. I mean, Christian McCaffrey gets any sort of blocking in front of him, he's picking up 5 yards. Christian McCaffrey gets any room to run with a football after he catches it, he's going to pick up a first down. He is special. He's special. He's already in the category of overused. Again, you know, not that he was a game time decision, but Christian McCaffrey only appeared on the injury report 48 hours before the first football game of the year, and Kyle Shanahan uses him as if, you know, this rookie's never even had a carry. We can rub as much tread off his tires as possible. There's no such thing as getting tread off this guy's tires. Kyle has a Christian McCaffrey dependency problem, but at least it gets him into the win column when he scratches that itch more often than not. I don't know how good it'll be for the overall arc of the year if you burn McCaffrey out early, but good luck with that. Brock, now 4-0 up in Seattle. The 49ers were 2-10 in the previous 12 trips to Seattle without Brock. So it's not like winning up there has ever come easy. This is the longest winning streak the Niners have ever had, now 4 games in Seattle since this series started. And for that to have happened is Brock is getting pressured on almost 60% of his dropbacks, the highest pressure rate of this young man's career. And when he was pressured, he completed 13 of 20 attempts for 126 yards, a touchdown. That's when he threw his two picks and was also sacked. But it was just good enough to win. So we're not going to complain about things that are just good enough to win. Now, the negatives. The negatives from yesterday. Let's just start with special teams. Brant Boyer, that's not better at all. Your run coverage sucks. Your kick return coverage sucks. Your punt return coverage sucks. I have never in my entire 40-plus years of watching football, I'm not going to count the games I saw before I was 5 years old. So, like, I'm 50 years old. I've been watching football for 45 years. I have never at any level in any college game, in any pickup game, in any video game, I have never seen the left side of a field goal protection caved in like it was for the 49ers on the Jake Moody blocked kick. Of course, then Jake Moody started the day by missing a kick, and the Jake Moody anxiety that 49ers fans rightfully feel, if we're able to turn Jake Moody anxiety into power, we would be able to light a small California or a mid-sized California city. Like, we could probably, maybe not light Los Angeles or San Francisco or San Diego with Jake Moody anxiety turned into power, but we could definitely light up Fresno, Bakersfield, Clovis. Like, we could do that. Stockton, we could power you with Jake Moody anxiety. Just got to bring this up. Foster City. Yeah, you could power Foster City. Jake Garoppolo, kinda. And he's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. How many kicks in New Orleans will he be allowed to miss? By the way, the answer should be zero. That's in a dome. Come on, Jake Moody. You better get it done next week. But Jake Moody and special teams, you know, Brant Boyer was brought in to fix an awful lot of things. What he did was dick around drafting Junior Bergen, who ain't ever going to play in the NFL. And then, you know, to fix his much improved special teams, he's bringing in Sky Moore like 8 days ago. And that's your last minute fix? Special teams, you're still getting an F. Like, that was terrible yesterday. Terrible. You're helping the Seahawks win a game. You're doing more to help the Seahawks win than you are the 49ers. So the Seahawks had the Seahawks offense, the Seahawks defense, and Seahawks special teams and 49ers special teams all playing for the Seattle Seahawks, leaving the Niners with only their offense and their defense. It's ridiculous. So Brant Boyer, you've got a billion things to do this week. Robert Saleh, thank God you're back in the room. Kyle, get creative. Like, get creative on third and short. You know, if Christian McCaffrey puts you into third and short, sniffing him out on third and short is going to be an easy thing to do because you just keep on going back to McCaffrey. If it's first and 10. Christian McCaffrey picks up 7 yards. I'm guaranteeing a carry for Christian McCaffrey on second down every time. And instead of it becoming, you know, now third and short, it goes back to third and 5 because that's when he gets buried for the 2-yard loss. So I'd like to see Kyle get a tad more creative, even with Christian McCaffrey. Again, why is Isaac Garendo on this team? Why is Isaac Garendo needs to become your new gadget guy, your new, hey, you know, this guy's going to get us 3 yards every single time because we only ask him to practice this one play all week long. So when we need it, we can go to him and here he is. And it's Isaac Garendo, everybody. Isaac Garendo played on special teams yesterday, maybe. I mean, the guy didn't get an offensive snap. Why not? Why not? Well, Brian Robinson's getting touches. Yeah, he's getting touches, but it's like a 3-to-1 McCaffrey to Robinson touch rate. So work in somebody else too. especially on a day where you're missing wide receivers. Kittle is now hurt. I mean, like, do something other than the same thing over and over again. I think things will get a little bit easier. Right? Cheers to you. Delicious coffee today. Sip of the day. Even though I've been drinking coffee for over 4 hours right now, it's still fantastic. Garendo is a slot guy? Yes! Yes! Or how about you line up Christian McCaffrey in the slot, which they did on a fourth down play that they converted when they needed it. Line up McCaffrey in the slot and have Garendo in the backfield. Have Garendo, Brian Robinson, and McCaffrey all on the field at the same time. Where's that play coming from? I don't know. It could go in a lot of different directions, which I think is why it's valuable. Joseph says, hey, Damon, you predict that Moody would hit a field goal post. What numbers you like in the lottery? Yeah, dude, I did. He's gonna hit more field goal posts. He'll probably hit one a game. Again, I would have moved on from Moody. Did you see what Matt Prater did last night? He flies into Buffalo on Wednesday and smoking a cigarette, he hits the game winner. That's a kicker. You don't draft a third round kicker. You don't keep a guy on your roster who projects zero confidence. But for whatever reason, the 49ers are. So, you know, I can only give you really good advice. Like, you should sign Keenan Allen. You can either take my advice or you don't. I can only give you good advice. Like, you should sign Drew Dolman. You can take my advice or you don't. No matter how you felt about the game, no matter what you thought was good or bad, these are the facts. And all that matters are the facts. The Niners are 1-0. That is a fact. And for the third consecutive year, they're 1-0. For the 10th time in their last 14 seasons, they're 1-0. They've won 7 of their last 10 season openers now on the road. They've won 4 of their last 5 up in Seattle. Shanahan is now 5-4 in season openers and win 71 for Kyle Shanahan as the 49ers head coach. He is tied with Buck Shaw for the third most wins in franchise history now. With one more win, he'll hold third place all by himself. He is 21 wins shy of Bill Walsh. He is 26 wins away from Seifert being number one all-time 49er coaching wins at 98. So, Kyle Shanahan, you know, it's amazing what a Super Bowl can do for perception. Kyle Shanahan, had he won one of his Super Bowls, there'd be almost no complaining about him being the problem. I really mean that. I can prove that almost, and we will a little bit later on in this show. There is something that is happening to John Harbaugh, who everyone I think regards as one of the best coaches in football, that if it kept on happening to Kyle, you'd be furious. There's something that happened to Joe Burrow yesterday, that if it happened to Brock Purdy, you would all want Brock Purdy shipped out of town on the next thing smoking north, south, east, or west, but you wouldn't want him in San Francisco anymore. And if it can happen to Joe Burrow, it can happen to Brock Purdy. You know, there is a level of perfect at all times demanded out of him that really isn't demanded out of other quarterbacks by some people in this fan base. And those are the obnoxious people in this fan base. Bosa clinched that game yesterday with a huge defensive end triple play, sack, forced fumble, fumble recovery. Without that, I don't know if the Niners win. You got double tight end touchdowns yesterday. You had Kittle scoring early, Tongas, of course, scoring late. It's the first time since 2011 against Tampa Bay that the 49ers have had multiple tight ends score in the same game. Vernon Davis had 2 against the Buccaneers that day, and Delanie Walker had 1 back in 2011. So it's been a while since you've had multiple tight ends scoring touchdowns. Again, Tongas, how great does he feel today? All that patience, all that sticking it out pays off. And when, you know, you got to love when a young guy whose only job is to answer the bell should it ring, you got to love when a guy answers a bell. Jake Tongas answered a bell. Again, we were down on all of our Jakes yesterday. Jake Moody, down. Jake Brendel, down. Jake Tongas, up. So at least one Jake got it done. This is what I want to mention when I talk about reputation. And by the way, I don't know, why is my video going all grainy? Like, it's clear as I'm looking at it, but I also got the show up on my phone. I see it's a little grainy right now. I don't know what the hell's wrong with my damn video camera. This happened a little bit during wake up this morning, too. It's just going grainy in the middle of a show. Might be time for a new camera. So John Harbaugh beat the 49ers in his Super Bowl. And because of that, John Harbaugh has, you know, and John Harbaugh and the Ravens. Here's the thing. The Ravens, but for one Joe Flacco Super Bowl, would be the team that was all close to all those Super Bowls, but just can't get it done. Look at how often you've seen a great season out of the Baltimore Ravens, only for them to fall short in the postseason. Yesterday, John Harbaugh lost a game all by himself. He really did. A spectacular Sunday night game, Bills and Ravens, an instant classic. But that loss was 100% on a coaching choice. John Harbaugh had a chance to get 3 yards and end the game with a running game that was averaging like 9 yards a carry. Not an exaggeration. A running game that between, you know, King Henry and Lamar is picking up almost a first down every time you touch the ball. And instead, he punts it back to a red-hot Josh Allen late in the game. Now, Chris Collinsworth even said, do you think about going for it here? Even though, had you failed going for it, you were already in Buffalo field goal range. But he was right. Chris Collinsworth was right. Because you got to play the game you're in. And the game that you're in means if Josh Allen has this ball last, we're going to lose. Josh Allen had more passing yards in the fourth quarter than 21 other quarterbacks had in their games this week. Again, Josh Allen outproduced 21 other quarterbacks' game totals in Buffalo's fourth quarter alone. Teams that have scored 40 points with 240 rushing yards were 277-0 before last night. Now they're 277-1 because John Harbaugh didn't feel the game that he was coaching and punted in a world where you got to get more aggressive on fourth down. Now, here's what one Super Bowl does for a guy's reputation. And I saw this from Josh Dubow of the AP last night. John Harbaugh now has 17 blown double-digit leads in the second half, and that is the most in football since 1991. John Harbaugh has the most blown double-digit leads in the fourth quarter over the last 10 seasons, playoff included. He now has 8. Kyle Shanahan has 6. But John Harbaugh gets to live in a world that Kyle Shanahan doesn't even get to pretend to visit. That's what a Super Bowl will do for a guy's reputation. I don't know if John Harbaugh is a better coach than Kyle Shanahan, but he's got one Super Bowl, so everyone allows him to lose more frequently and blow more leads without criticism than Kyle Shanahan's done. John Harbaugh is one of the biggest gag artists in the NFL. He is also one of the best coaches in the NFL. Two things can be equally true. But because of the Super Bowl, John Harbaugh gets to whistle through any and all criticism that Kyle just has piled on him. I mean, my God, Kyle gets criticized for losing a Super Bowl in a Super Bowl where he wasn't even the head coach. I'll say this, though. How fun was it to just have football back? You had a big Saturday of football, then a big Sunday of football. I loved it. I love football. I love a celebration of great football. I love a celebration of bad football. We had a couple celebrations of bad football yesterday. The Browns held the Cincinnati Bengals to 7 yards in the second half. It's the fewest yards in the second half by a team that actually won in 25 years. Cleveland outgained Cincinnati 327 to 114 yards, doubled them up on first downs, and still lost by one. Let me restate that for those of you who didn't follow the bouncing ball. Joe Burrow, hands down, unquestionably, one of the single best quarterbacks in the game. You know, if you're measuring Joe Burrow directly against Brock Purdy, you're taking Joe Burrow 10 out of 10 times. If Brock Purdy ever threw for 7 yards and a half, you'd jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, then you'd swim over to the Bay Bridge to jump off that one too, if the jump off the Golden Gate Bridge didn't do the trick. Can you imagine a world where Brock Purdy led an offense that was held to 7 total yards in the second half? People would be burning Brock's house down. But Joe Burrow can do it, and mum's the word. Do you think anybody in Cincinnati today is saying, get rid of Joe Burrow? He's overrated. Get him out of town. He's overpaid. Brock throws 2 interceptions, and it's, this is my $53 million man. Imagine if there were just 7 yards of offense in a half. You would drive Brock to SFO yourself. It's amazing what some guys get to live through without much criticism and what other guys get crucified for when they're both doing it in the same league and it's just as hard. I mean, Joe Burrow's got a Super Bowl appearance, just like Brock does. He lost his. No one's saying he's the problem. Celebrating bad football is probably what they're going to be doing in Miami more than anything else all year. The Colts looked like a Super Bowl world beater against the Miami Dolphins in a 33-8 win. The Colts scored on all 7 of their offensive possessions. They're the first team in at least 47 years to score on every offensive possession of a game, going back to 1978. Like, you can talk about Tua all you want. You can talk about Mike McDaniel losing his magic touch as an offensive genius all you want. The Dolphins defensively were skinned alive by the Indianapolis Colts. That can't be a harbinger of a good season to come in any way, shape, or form. By the way, another thing, too, that just makes you say, oh, okay, well, I guess that's why it makes sense. Because when the Steelers signed Aaron Rodgers, you know, there was a lot of belly aching and belly laughing, like, that's not going to fit. That's not going to work out well. Like, Aaron Rodgers and a town based on the blue-collared steelworker principle, common sense, like, that's not going to fit well, right? Well, there's a reason why the Steelers went out and got Aaron Rodgers without making any apologies for it, and I found it. So the Steelers, in 51 regular season games, this is since 2022, the Steelers have 46 passing touchdowns in 51 regular season games. That is the lowest in all of football. And in Aaron Rodgers' last 51 games, even though he is slowing down and not exactly who he used to be, he's thrown 91 touchdowns in 51 games. No matter who the Steelers have had as quarterback, 46 touchdowns in 51 games. So that's why Aaron Rodgers is in the room, and Aaron Rodgers was in that room yesterday, and he showed the New York Jets what they wish they had had with Aaron Rodgers. So Pittsburgh Steelers, Aaron Rodgers keeps doing that, they're going to get a little interesting. But it was a fun Sunday of football. It really, really was. I had a good time. I enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it. The watch stream, the watch party went incredibly well. Lots of supers, lots of views. 12,000 people dipped in to hang out with us during that game, and I hope that you were one of them. If you were one of them but have not hit subscribe, I hope you consider doing that today. By the way, we got new merch made by my wife, dialed up by Jillian, now in the shop, so you can check that out. We gained a few more members yesterday. A few more members of the initiated showed up yesterday. We certainly appreciate that. And what I really hope you show up for is a little something that we're going to be doing tomorrow night. We did this once last year, and we're going to be doing it again this year. We're calling it Tuesday Night Live. We're going to do a call-in show. To get in line for Tuesday night's 8 p.m. West Coast time call-in show, what I'd love you to do is go to showus.tv. Showus.tv, you can reserve your place in line. We're going to be starting at 8 p.m. Tuesday night, West Coast on YouTube, and we'll go for about an hour or so. We're going to be doing a call-in show. Let's call something like that, I don't know, sports phone? Tuesday Night Live. We hope to see you back here, 8 p.m., a special show. We're going to be doing another special show this week with a guy whose name is Hold the Mayo. That's his name. He is a content creator from New Orleans around the Saints. Hold the Mayo is hysterical. He's great. And he's going to be joining us on one of our days this week, previewing a little 49ers and Saints as we get closer to that one. Our friend Sam Batesh will be on by this week, of course. We might even have to work John Lund back into the mix this week. It was great welcoming you back into the mix this week. I know a lot of people, they dip out and they don't show up to watch shows on the Plus until it's football season. So for a lot of you, welcome back. It's good to have you back. It really is. We hope that you will give us a thumbs up, a like, and subscribe, and hit that notify button if you really want to get crazy with how much you're supporting this channel. Let's see. Go Valhalla. I mean, Valkyries, did they qualify for the postseason? I think they did. Congratulations. I can honestly say I have not watched a dribble of Valkyries basketball, and my life is still very robust and complete. If you enjoy Valkyries basketball, congratulations. I've told you for years, it's really not for me. I'm not going to be some bandwagon jumping douchebag who's going to now pretend to, oh, I've loved the WNBA all along. If you love it, great. Jillian went, she had a good time. Good atmosphere, she said. I saw Chef A telling me, hey, Valhalla, it's real. It's great. Chef A, get over it, Damon. I will talk with you at the Plus. Reardon Junior Varsity would win the WNBA. That's why it ain't for me. Sorry. I'm not here for layups. I'm really not. If you think you're watching great basketball when you watch the WNBA, let me bring you to one boys high school basketball game. Just one. You'll be like, oh, this is better, isn't it? Joe Sullivan says, I'm about that Plus life. Great live stream yesterday. 1-0, baby. Let's go, Joe Sullivan. He fills the ganja jar metaphorically. He fills the ganja jar literally. He does it with financial support. He does it with flour. Joe, you're my kind of guy, brother. Thank you so very, very much. Appreciate you. You ready for a little history? You ready for a little today in history? First of all, hold on. Before we get there, let's talk about what we're watching this week. What are we watching this week? Well, first of all, we got Vikings and Bears on Monday Night Football to wrap up week one. That's this evening. That should be fun. Giants, who just dropped 2 of 3, by the way, in St. Louis. They host the Diamondbacks tonight, Tuesday, and Wednesday afternoon. So that is the week for the Giants until Friday. And that's when the Dodgers get here. Dodgers, Giants, starting on Friday over the weekend. Week two in the NFL begins Thursday Night Football. The 1-0 Commanders at the 1-0 Green Bay Packers. Micah Parsons. We'll take a look at him. And then, of course, on Sunday, here on Sunday, 10 a.m. West Coast. We got 49ers. We got New Orleans. We got a Crescent City. We got beignets. We got 49ers Saints from a dome in New Orleans, 10 a.m. on Sunday. And I hope you hit notified because we will be doing a live stream watch party during that game. We're going to be doing live stream watch parties during every game this year. That's how much fun we just had. Fuji. Thanks for the Reardon shout out, Damon. Just for you, Fuji. Thanks for all your support. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. What do we got here? Hold on. Doyers. Somebody take Otani yard, please. Red zone. Say it louder. I do like the red zone. How nice was it to have red zone back yesterday? Feels good. Feels right. I wish it were still Siciliano. I do. I was a Siciliano guy. I still am. All right. Now it's time for Today in History. You ready? Here we go. We start with happy birthdays. Happy 83rd birthday to Vermont's Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders turns 83 today. Feel the burn. Happy 53rd birthday to David Arquette, Patricia's brother. David Arquette turns 53 today. Pink. I got no problems with Pink. She's pretty cool, right? I got Pink's a rock star. Pink, 45 years old today. Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Do you remember that name from either Home Improvement or the cover of a Tiger Beat magazine? Jonathan Taylor Thomas was the, you know, like the it kid when I was like a young teen appearing on Home Improvement. Well, he's 43 years old today. That's how fast that happens. From the cover of Tiger Beat to you're 43 and no one's ever going to hire you again. Congratulations and happy birthday to Jonathan Taylor Thomas. You like a little art? Well, today you got a lot of art. In 1504, Michelangelo's David was officially unveiled in Florence for the very first time. It would be several years before anyone lopped off David's peepee. But I'm telling you, that thing is huge. If you've ever seen it in person, Michelangelo's David, it's freaking huge. Not the peepee, the statue. Today in 1888, the body of Jack the Ripper's second murder victim was found in London. And I feel compelled to tell you that because we just told you that last week, the first murder victim was found, but the first murder victim was actually like the third or fourth body found. But Jack the Ripper, doing what made him so famous today in the 1880s in London. Today in 1892, the Pledge of Allegiance was first published by the Youth Companion magazine. And the Pledge of Allegiance originally said this. Put your hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The original Pledge of Allegiance did not contain the phrase under God. That's because they asked kids to do it in school and there was a separation of church and state and all this stuff. And that don't exist no more. I will also say that the phrase under God should offend absolutely nobody, not even a heathen. Like, just shut the fuck up and get through the Pledge of Allegiance. Good God. People complaining about everything. Today in 1921, a 16-year-old girl named Margaret Gorman won the Atlantic City's pageant Golden Mermaid Trophy, and pageant officials would later refer to her as the very first Miss America. So, happy birthday, Miss America. By the way, I always love finding out, like, why do they call it that? You probably have a roll of scotch tape somewhere in your soy sauce drawer in your kitchen. Everyone has a soy sauce drawer. It's where you keep the stamps, the chopsticks, the rubber bands, all the crap that wouldn't go in any other drawer in the kitchen goes in the soy sauce drawer. You probably got a roll, a spool of Scotch tape, 3M Scotch tape. That's the preferred brand of Scotch tape, 3M. Well, did you know that the 3M company stood for Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing? Today in 1930, 3M began making Scotch tape. And they're like, you know what? We're going to give up the mining. We're going to give up the manufacturing, and we're just going to be in the tape that shit together business. And it's worked out well for 3M. So congratulations. Today in 1930, big choices were made. Today in 1956, Harry Belafonte's Calypso, featuring the Banana Boat song, Day-O, was the number one album, according to Billboard, and stayed number one for 31 weeks. As a matter of fact, Calypso by Harry Belafonte became the first documented million-seller album. I mean, they think it happened before, but the first time it was ever documented, Day-O. Today in 1956, Calypso came out, and it sold a million. Congratulations to Harry Belafonte. Today in 1960, the psychological thriller Psycho was officially released. This is a Hitchcock classic, and it would be impossible to explain to anybody who has been so desensitized by the world and what we see now in the violent movies that we watch and the shows and everything. It would be impossible to explain how literally jarring the shower scene in Psycho was to that generation the first time that they ever saw it. They never saw a lady get murdered like that. They never saw anything quite like that. They never saw blood run red like that. Oh my God, my grandmother would bring it up all the time. That was the most shocking thing she had ever seen in her life. You look at it today, it can be involved in a Saturday morning cartoon compared to the killings we see in movies now. I mean, Quentin Tarantino is like Psycho shower scene. Wait until you see Uma Thurman with a Hanzo, Hattori Hanzo sword. You know, I mean, but that was such a big deal. Janet Leigh getting murdered in the shower. It would be impossible to explain what that meant. How shocking it was. Today in 1966, Tarzan and Star Trek both debuted on NBC. Big day of television today in 1966. By the way, today in 1974, you had Gerald Ford pardoning Richard Nixon for his crimes during Watergate. Again, we now live in a world where you get a Watergate every 3 hours. No big whoop. Today in 1986, Oprah Winfrey got nationally syndicated. It would be impossible to explain to anyone what Oprah Winfrey meant. I mean, how would you explain Oprah Winfrey? I guess you'd have to be like, so imagine Joe Rogan's podcast, but it was TV with a black woman. That's how popular that was. Oprah Winfrey was a monster, an absolute monster. And today her syndicated show officially went national out of Chicago. Speaking of syndication, today in 1990, America's Funniest Home Videos debuted on ABC. Send in your videotape, win $10,000. Oh my gosh. Today in 1998, Mark McGwire hit home run number 62, breaking Roger Maris's record of 61. By the way, if you're ever wondering what year Maris hit 61, that's easy. He hit 61 in 61. So there you go. That's an easy remember for you. Maris hit 61 in 61, and today in 1998, Mark McGwire hit 62. That was a big deal. That was officially a big deal. Also a big deal, and we'll wrap up today with this, in 2022, after more than seven decades on the throne, Queen Elizabeth died. today at the age of 96 in 2022. And there you go. That today is your day in history. Thank you to everyone who gave a super. This is Fuji coming in with another one saying, do you think the NFL will require all new future-built stadiums to have a retractable roof to avoid severe weather delays, lightning, etc.? No. I mean, they're building a new stadium right now in Buffalo that has an open dome. It's not a retractable dome. Snow will still fall on the field. But apparently, they have designed that thing to get the wind and the swirling wind out of it and protect their actual fans from sitting in too much sun or shade or snow. So they're getting their acts together in Buffalo. Unfortunately, Levi's Stadium was built without the concept of shade. So maybe if the Niners ever get another crack in another stadium, they'll include the concept of shade. Which, again, they were aware of shade at the Roman Colosseum. But the Niners did not even consider shade when they built their stadium. But no, here's the thing. Get lightning out of the game, right? We don't want any lightning there, but I still want elements in the game. I still want rain. I still want snow. I don't need it to be so antiseptic that every game is now played in a dome. That's not what football is. Football is a sport that is meant to be played in elements. This ain't baseball. So I don't want that to change. What I do want you to do is start changing your habits when it comes to making plays through an NFL season. Check out our friends at Sleeper. You think you know football? Well, test out your knowledge over at Sleeper. Turn game days into paydays with parlays that you build yourself. You put them together yourself. You get $100 match on your first deposit. When you use promo code Damon, you can clink, 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 click on the link in the description of today's video, and you will be set up over its sponsor. It is America's fastest growing gaming app. So check it out. You'll be happy that you did. And again, terms and conditions apply. As always, whenever you're making plays, do so responsibly. But thanks to our good friends at Sleeper for being a part of the show. Thanks to our good friend Ike of Ike Sandwiches. Hold on, let me get my logo out of the way. Look at that man's beautiful face. Look at those thick, bushy eyebrows right there on Ike. You want a thick, delicious sandwich? You want a sandwich that'll fill up your football needs? Well, how about a little dinner, Monday Night Football tonight with an Ike sandwich? He's got an awful lot of sandwiches featuring NFL excellence. Get yourself a delicious sandwich, or you can just go, hey, you know what? It doesn't get better than a Damon Bruce, so let's just go get one of those. Thank you very much to Ike, and again to our friends at the Dubliner West Portal. We really hope to see you there on October 4th at 4:20. We're going to be very, very safe as we walk into the Dubliner at 4:20. On October 4th, it is the Saturday after 49ers and Rams play on Thursday Night Football, and we hope to see you at the Dubliner West Portal. If you're in the Bay Area, it would be great to have you there. It really would be. We hope to meet you there. We hope to have you there. And at the very least, all you got to do is get to your computer on Tuesday night to join me on YouTube live at 8 p.m. West Coast time. 8 p.m. West Coast time for a live call-in show. It's going to be Sports Phone, baby. We're calling it Tuesday Night Live with yours truly. Be a guest on the Pluse. Reserve your ticket now at showus.tv, and we'll hopefully have you there for a special Tuesday night show tomorrow night. Meanwhile, thanks to everyone for being a part of today's show, being in here. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to our viewers. Thanks to all of you. Thanks for the supers, and thanks for just hanging out. I hope you have a great week, a great Monday. And as much as anxiety as the 49ers tried to cram down your throat, they also mixed in a win. So we'll take it. We'll take it. But boy, there's an awful lot to coach up before you get to New Orleans. So we'll see how the Niners look in week two. Week one, almost played with their hands wrapped around their own throat there. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, 1-0 is all that matters. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for liking. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for hitting notify. Thank you for becoming a member. Thanks for picking up some merch. And mostly, thank you for watching. Please do remember that sports don't build character, they reveal it. And like that, He's gone.